Josh? Josh, are you there? Josh?
Doesn't look like he's picking up this week, mate. So no. Looks like it's just down to us two.
I think we'll crack on. Anyway, welcome to another episode of FPL by Dummies with me, your new and improved host, Cam, and...
And me, your other new and improved host, Tom, this week with a lot less whining and a bit more insight. No Josh this week. He is otherwise, well, I don't even know where he is, to be honest. Not here, so... How's your week been, Cam?
Not too bad. Merry Christmas and hopefully a happy new year and a much better 2021. But yeah, given the circumstances of last week, it's not been too bad. Still green arrows going up in the world, so I can't complain too much.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit, you know, somehow gained 6,000 places, even though I only had nine players playing. I had the insight to bring in James Maddison, who very quickly got immediately removed from the squad. It seems to be a running theme throughout my team this year that I pick a player and all of a sudden they do something good and decide to fall over afterwards. So. Yeah.
So I think we just said there'll be much more insight, but I think a tip for going forward into 2021 is if Tom gives you some advice of a player to bring in, choose not to bring them in and bring someone else in completely different because they will get injured or at least be rested. So
it usually will be either a pulled hamstring. Knee injury seems to be the most common this year. I think I've picked four players this year and four of those players had knee injuries. I think Ziyech is one, Reece James is another, Maddison... and Jota. Yeah, so knee injuries galore for us this year. Hopefully 2021.
Young guys and you're just cursing their knees.
Absolutely. Yeah. Imagine not my secret ability is I have the ability to pick a player and immediately destroy all the cartilage around their knees. So.
Well, yeah, I think I guess for both of us then that our silver lining is despite the terror that is COVID ripping through everyone's fantasy teams, we both managed to still put out an above average score. And I think that's all thanks to Stuart Dallas in one way or another.
To give the listeners a little bit of insight, I had an absolute fret about midnight the day not before the game week, and I was texting Cam and Josh with what I should do. And I think one of my options was to get in Dallas and Rodrigo. I didn't do that. That would have gained me 20 points on a 4-point hit. And I think I didn't do that because one Mr. Josh Silver told me, no, don't back Dallas. He's not going to get a clean sheet, is he? On come 5-0 winning.
Bucket loads.
Yeah, absolutely. And an assist and 3 bonus points. And I think my other option was to bring in Vardy and Rashford for KDB and DCL. And I think even that with a 4-point hit, that would have actually gained me, even though Vardy didn't even... Well, he played like, 10 minutes at the end of the match. Even that would be positive. What I decided to do instead, bring in James Maddison. Fantastic. So yeah, as Cam said, whatever I say, don't do it. Just ignore everything I say, and it's probably gonna do you guys a world of good.
Yeah, but on that topic, I think we'll kind of get into some team reviews this week. Who have you picked up? Oh, I think it's quite topical actually. You're talking about Leeds.
Oh, I am going to be talking about Leeds this week. Yeah, after my absolute dismantling and not having enough of the assets, obviously every man and their dog has a Patrick Bamford at the moment, so he got two more assists this week.
The
first one's beautiful. He heads the ball.
I'm not even sure he actually headed it. I've watched it on replay and I'm not sure he actually makes contact with it.
Oh, it bounces off of him and then like hits the West Brom defender and then drops back to Alioski, who
proceeds
hits
to
an absolute
top corner.
What a goal. I don't understand how that was given to him as his assist.
It came up like 20 minutes late as well.
Yeah, I was watching it and it came up on like the FPL Twitter and said, oh, assist none, goal Alioski. I was like, oh, that's a shame Bamford didn't get that one because, you know, he did head it at the West Brom defender. And then like 20 minutes later, it came up and just saw every single FPL account going like, yes, get in, like Bamford assist. And I was like, what for? Like, what's he done? Like, So even though I'm an owner of him, as are 48% of the FPL community, I don't think anyone really was expecting to get that one. So that's a nice cheeky 4 points for 3 points on that one. Talking about Leeds, because they've just been fantastic this year. Bielsa's just making them play exactly the same amount of football every week.
They're just so good to watch, aren't they?
They lose 6-2 to United. They play the same amount of football. They go to Burnley. They play the same football and still score a goal, but defensively look quite sound. And then go to West Brom, a team who've just drawn 1-1 with Liverpool, with Big Sam defending, Big Sam's defensive outfit sitting there, and managed to smash them 5-0. And it was an absolute battering.
Yeah,
it was 5-0 at half time.
Four, I think. I think it was four. And then Rafinha scored that peach in the second half as well.
Oh, yeah, that was a good goal.
That's so tilting as a Liverpool fan that I hate it when small teams like that put in an absolute stellar performance against us and then proceed in their next game to get absolutely tanked by like a lower table opposition. And it's just so annoying because obviously everyone's going to play better when they play the champions or the reigning champions anyway. But I just hate to see it. But it was just such a good game to watch because Leeds just play with such freedom.
Yeah, there's just... I think at the moment now, there's just so many good Leeds assets that you can get in. And that's really why I'm going with this team. The team review this week of Leeds is there's the obvious ones. I think everyone now has cottoned on to Stuart Dallas. I think he really is now. Just get him in your team. He is...
I'm going to say that I got him when it was before it was cool. I was one of the OGs.
one of the OG boys. Sorry, mate. Yeah, you got him in at 4.5 million, didn't you?
I did.
Just fun fact, he's also another Brentford reject, another one in the Prem catalogue of Brentford up-and-comers. No, he's really good. He's playing really well. I think when we actually sold him from Brentford, we actually thought we'd made loads of money on him, and we got him out of our team because he was playing crap for us. So he's playing fantastic for Leeds, getting another assist. That was the most jarring one from this weekend, though. That why did Stuart Dallas get 3 bonus points? He got an assist and a goal, and there was 5 goals in a game. And he got 3 bonus points. Really annoyed me.
I think it's because he's so involved in their play. He's a defender, but he's playing in midfield. So he just has loads of touches on the ball and is just so involved in their play. I don't think he really mislays any passes. As a defender, gets a clean sheet when... I mean, he has kind of shifted to playing right back now because they've got so many injuries. But
yeah. No, definitely. And the other ones to really call out is Rodrigo got another goal. He's looking like a good cheap option. If you want to double up on those forwards, I know last week I said don't double up on the forwards. I almost did that myself this week. Rafinha looked fantastic. And it's got to be a big shout out to Mr. Camlali over here because Jack Harrison was absolutely electric again. Yeah. And I think that's another one that you called out before he was cool again, mate. So congratulations on that one.
I didn't get him in, but I did notice that he has been putting in some good performances. But I mean, to back up your point that Leeds assets are very worth looking at, they have 6 Kings of the Game Week this week.
Oh, really?
Over half of the Kings of the Game Week team is made up with Leeds players. They've got Alioski and Dallas at the back with 12, Rafinha and Harrison in the middle with 8, and Rodrigo and Bamford up top with 8. I mean, it just shows like how low scoring this game week was, but those are all still really respectable scores. To have all of them, well, over half the team made up of Leeds players is
incredible. I think it's a credit to how well they're playing at the moment. I think the perfect summation of Leeds this week was Leeds. Everyone's already forgotten that Leeds got promoted this season. That's how well they're playing.
Yeah,
and Leeds playing West Brom this week was showing how one team, when they get promoted, how they should play in the Prem, and a West Brom team of how you shouldn't be playing when you get promoted to the Premier League. That's literally the complete opposites in terms of how well they're playing and what's going on. And
it's helped by the fact that I think Leeds just have better players than West Brom.
Oh, yeah.
So West Brom are working with what they've got. But, I mean, it's difficult to say that, though, because like Norwich came up and gave it a go, but they just didn't. They just weren't good enough to be able to compete with the Premier League. But Leeds seem to have... very good quality all over the pitch. So, I mean, I 100% agree with you. I think you can get assets of theirs anywhere through your team. At the minute, I'm doubled up on Leeds with Dallas and Bamford, but you could very easily, and I might well do this actually, it would be putting a lot of eggs in one basket, but you could get Rafinha or Harrison in midfield.
Definitely, 100%.
And both are really good options at like in and around 5.5. I think these are definitely a great shout.
No, definitely. I think the final one is you just... don't trust their defence too much yet, though. I think that's proven by the 6-2 defeat. Don't need to trust that defence too much. So the attacks are definitely more potent than the defence at the moment. And talking about parking the bus, you're talking Spurs this week, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, one final point in Leeds is that all of their defenders are quite cheap. So they are good rotation players. And for someone like Dallas, I think it's always kind of worth leaving him into play because he's playing midfield. So, you know, a clean sheet is almost a bonus, but he has decent opportunities for returns, and the same with Alioski on the left. So, that's the final point in Leeds. But yeah, Spurs, where do we start? It was all looking so rosy 3 game weeks ago. They were sat joint top of the Premier League with Liverpool, and now they're seventh. To be honest, they're not even doing too much differently, but I just think Mourinho's tactics only have so much in them. It was only going to serve them so far. And I think it's kind of they're being found out. I found it really weird when he complained after the Wolves game that we didn't go for more. And I was like, yes, you didn't go for more because you literally have coached and told your players not to go for more once they get into a lead. So it's like, what he was complaining about was they didn't take their chances when they had them, then fair enough. But to say we didn't go for more, well, yeah, because once you get a lead, you just tell your team to sit back. And it's not even like they really try to play counter-attacking football. They've got the means on the break with Lucas Moura, Son, Kane, Bale when he's fit. And they don't even really look to play that. They're all sat back in a midfield five defending, and it's just Kane up top. Kind of, even he's sometimes inside the halfway line. Rant over, but more talking about the FPL. I don't think there are too many of their assets that intrigue me too much. Looking at their upcoming fixtures, they don't inspire me. Two fixtures with a difficulty rating of 2, which looks promising, but Leeds at home, I'm not confident that Spurs are going to keep a clean sheet there. Not even confident that they're going to score, because Leeds will come and will swamp them, and I mean that could leave some spaces in behind for Son and the like to get there. But as I said, they don't even seem to have any attacking appetite, really. None of their midfield options are particularly a threat apart from Son, and as Josh as well highlighted, the guy has one shot a game, so he's not someone you're really going to bet your house on. And obviously they've got the undoubted quality of Kane up top, but if he's not getting the supply, then how do you hope to get any points from him? So they do, it's not all doom and gloom, obviously they're still going to win games and score goals, but if you're going to be getting any fancy assets, I wouldn't really be betting too much on them, because once they've had that period of 3 games, which looks quite nice, they then have Liverpool at home, Brighton away, which again, they're not a top team, but I can see Brighton scoring a goal or two against them.
Yeah.
Chelsea at home, another difficult game. West Brom at home, if Sam puts a performance in anything like he did against Liverpool, then, you know, and then they're away against City into February. So, yeah, as I said, I don't want it to be too damning, but Spurs don't look like the ones for me right now. And that's kind of shown by their position in the Prem. I mean, everything changes around so quickly with one win or one loss, as we've seen. But yeah, they have slipped to seventh, which kind of is about where they should be, really, on the balance of things.
They do look completely a different team to the team that smashed Man United 6-1 back at the start of this year. I don't really know what they're doing differently. They're just sitting back and almost playing old school counter football like they did a long time ago.
They're not even looking to spring too many times either. Like Wolves normally come into the game in the second half, but even once Spurs scored in the first half, Wolves were just had like so much more of the ball.
Absolutely.
Not entirely all over them, but you know, they had them pinned back in their own half for good portions of the game. Spurs just don't look too inspiring at the minute. I mean, it could very easily change. As we've seen, Son sometimes does only need that one chance, and it's enough. But yeah, I wouldn't be backing any Spurs assets, really.
Yeah, well, it's 2 blanks in a row, and obviously this week, which I guess you could say is a bit unfair because obviously they didn't play. But it's a bit of a weird one now, really, because you don't really know what's going to happen with that. Obviously, I think, is potentially when that second fixture might come in.
Yeah.
I have no idea at the moment. I don't think anyone does.
It was jarring that didn't get played, though, because I could have done, even with like an extra 2 or 3 points, would have made quite a difference in I'm talking about coming from Son. Would have helped my rank, but you know, you can't help the situation. We just got to hope that they can keep the games coming so we have something to talk about each week.
Definitely. We like to think so. Like, there's one thing that does keep very consistent though with Spurs is that's Jose Mourinho's Instagram, and it is absolutely beautiful. This week was even funny. I think what he tweeted, well, it was a post just hit them in the hotel saying like, it's 1 p.m. and we don't even know what's going on. Best league in the world. I was like, Jose, never change.
Yeah, no, I've decided not to follow him, but that one did make me chuckle.
Yeah, he's worth a follow. Yeah, I think I'm his new publicist, by the way. That's every follow a bit more commission from coming my way. So. Right, anyway. So should we move on to Snog Merry Void then?
Yeah, so I think it's pretty self-explanatory, but if you are new and you've not heard of it before, Snog Marry Avoid is a game we play each week where we pick a player for each category. Someone who we want to snog is only going to be a short-term punt. Marry, who we're looking to have in our team long-term, and Avoid is someone that we are advising you wonderful people to steer clear of. So I don't know if you want to kick off with your snog this week, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely. So talking of knee injuries a bit earlier, my snog this week is James Maddison. I'm it's a bit of a rope.
So that basically is code for leave Maddison out of your team.
Leave him out your team. Don't get him in your team. No, I think hopefully by the sounds of what Brendan was saying that James Maddison is more of just a knock. I don't think he was complaining of a knee niggle rather than a big injury. So I'm hoping that Maddison comes back into that team. He's looked really good since he's come back from injury. I think I've spoken about him right at the start of the year and saying that when he comes back in, that Leicester team is going to be very good. He's not been, you know, setting the world light on terms of sort of points and assists recently, but I think he has the potential there to do a really good job soon. There's a good little run of fixtures. I just really like him as a player, to be honest. I think he creates a lot, and especially with Vardy up top, Vardy only really ever needs that one or two shots on target to get the goal. And usually it's either... they're almost like a sort of a second string Son and Kane at the start of the season. Usually if Vardy scores, then Maddison usually has some sort of involvement, whether it's the assist or the pass to the assist, he's almost there or thereabouts. And he also has the ability to come on and just sink a team with a beautiful goal. I think right at the start of the season when he just came back from injury, when they beat Man City 5-2, he came on for about, I think it was 20 minutes or so, and he hit that beautiful curling shot. It was just, he has that ability, and he's just I think he's a really good player, plays really well. He's almost like a worse version of KDB, I'd say. he's very good, and there's a lot of potential to be a lot better, and I think he's a good asset. He's only 7.1 mil, so he's pretty cheap. He was my punt to bring in instead of Grealish this week, because I was hoping that he would be then fit for the double game week, but that sort of backfired slightly with the not even being in the squad. But if he does come back into that squad, I will be keeping hold of him for now and hoping that he recovers from that minor niggle, and it's just a rest, really, and it's just an excuse to rest him. And that's my snog this week.
Yeah, no, I do think Maddison is a really, really good player. And I only suggested to avoid him a couple of weeks ago because, historically he's not particularly injury prone, but this year he hasn't really managed to get a run of games together. And yeah. Leicester's performances have been really hit and miss. Like, one week they'll absolutely just swish through a team and score five like they did against City, or even if it is just like three, but they'll completely overawe a team, and then other weeks they lose 2-0 at home to Everton. So it's just like you can't really predict when they're going to play well. So for me, they're just the only one that I kind of like as an asset is Harvey Barnes. He just seems to constantly return whether they win or lose. Yeah. He's really lively, but I do like Maddison as an asset if he could stay fit. Because as you say, he's a really classy player, and him and Vardy do have a good relationship, and Vardy's always gonna score if you give him two or three chances, so I do like Maddison as a punt. Mine is a very kind of left field differential pick this week. I've gone for another M, but in Martinelli. I had my eye on him from the beginning of the season in terms of I knew he was out with a long-term injury, but I was kind of monitoring when he would be back fit, because when he featured for Arsenal last year, he was arguably their best player. He was so lively, caused opposition lots of problems, scored that amazing goal against Chelsea. It was only about a week or two early, but he's back fit sooner than I expected him. But in the two games he's played in, he's kind of picked up where he left off last year. Arsenal kind of turned to the kids when they played against Chelsea, and I think there was some merit in the sentiment that, you know, they've not kind of been bogged down by the poor performances recently because they weren't playing, and they just went and played with the freedom against Chelsea and against Brighton in their last game. And Martinelli's been at the heart of that alongside Emil Smith Rowe, who surprised me. I didn't expect Mikel Arteta to give him the nod, but he's played really well as well. But yeah,
absolutely.
if Arteta doesn't manage his minutes too much and kind of gives him the freedom to play, I think Martinelli could very easily pick up a goal or assist in the coming weeks, and they have some very nice fixtures, Arsenal, although they kind of, it was all quite doom and gloom just only a couple games ago before the Chelsea win. Coming up, they've got West Brom away, Palace at home, Newcastle at home, Southampton away. Two of those games are two on the difficulty rating, and the other two are three. So all of those games are quite nice fixtures if they continue to play this young team that just seems to be playing without fear, really. And Martinelli is, yeah, very much at the heart of that. So if he can stay fit and Arteta, yeah, gives him the go-ahead to play, then he's only 0.8 owned and he's 4.9, which is a nice differential to someone like Suchek, who, to be honest, I didn't expect to continue scoring. No. But, you know, he is a really big set-piece threat. So, yeah, Martinelli's a nice little punt, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, you can also look at the equivalents there. You've got Saka as well. Obviously, mm-hmm. he met that goal the other day.
Did you see the clip of him and Tammy Abraham after the game?
No.
They were walking off together, and Abraham, like, was understandably pissed off having just lost, but also, like, Saka, I think, was, like, giving him a bit of stick, saying that he meant the goal. And Abraham, you could like lip read and telling him, "Oh, you didn't mean that, man. Piss off!" Like turning around, up in arms. That made me laugh. But yeah, Saka's looks lively too.
Saka's look very good. Yeah, it looked very good. I've got a friend who's an Arsenal fan, and he's been raving about Saka, and that's the only thing he's been able to rave about for the last few months.
That's it. He's been the only positive for them.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Marion, do you want to start with Marion this week, or do you want me to go?
I'm happy to take it on. I mean, we've spoken about him a lot, so I won't dwell too much on it. But last time I said I was going to marry Stuart Dallas, and I'm not shy of commitment, Tom. I'm sticking with him this week.
That's
I'm marrying Stuart Dallas. As I said, yeah, we've spoken a lot about him. He's been really influential in all Leeds playing out of position. So, you know, anytime they do pick up a clean sheet, which, you know, isn't too few and far between, but he's going to pick up 4 points for that. And I saw a stat yesterday which was interesting. Stuart Dallas has produced 11 returns this season, 3 goals, 2 assists and 6 clean sheets, which is a joint high with Ben Chilwell. And oh, wow. He's like 1.5 cheaper. So I think he's only 7 points behind Zouma as the top scoring defender. And I think he's either the same or just above Robertson. And he's now 4.8. So I think he's a really tidy option. And as I said, he's playing out of position, which means he gets the benefit of clean sheets as and when Leeds keep them. But he also has attacking potential, as we saw the other day. He got that assist for Rafinha's wonder goal, and as a result got the 3 bonus. So I think Dallas is a really good option. And Leeds, they're mid-table, so it's not too bad, but they're playing really well. And they're an exciting watch. And I think he's one of their key players.
Yeah, definitely. He looks brilliant. He does look really good at the moment. I've got some sad news for you though. Taylor's dead.
Tom, don't.
He's dead. I'm also a big man of commitment, and I've committed to Charlie Taylor since week one. But I'm sorry to say that he's dead. He is. He's just pulled a hammy.
I can't believe you can't be doing this, Charlie Taylor.
It's a sad day for us all. Luckily, thank God, you know. Amen to the FPL gods.
Just on the
other
side of the pitch.
On the air. From left back to right back. Up step, Matt Loughton. Thank you. Thank you, Matt. You're 0.1 cheaper than Charlie Taylor, and you're coming straight into my team, my friend. Charlie Taylor's injured. It's a bit of a disaster, really. It's with my plans of what I was doing for the double game week and everything and blah, blah, blah. He's been great, and of course, when they step up clean sheet against Sheffield United this weekend, comes off after 8 minutes with a pulled hamstring. The man to bring in for your team, if you still want to stick with that Burnley defence, is Matt Loughton. He is 4.4 mil. He has zero creativity, zero threat, but he will get you a Burnley clean sheet, and he's 4.4 million. The only interesting one, so I put in Loughton's Mamari this week. There's a very interesting one, which I don't think is going to stick around. I don't think he's going to be one that stays in the team. But Eric Peters is playing with McGinn out at the moment. I'm right there, yeah. No, McNeil out, sorry. McNeil. although he's only got a slight injury and not sure how long he's going to be out for. Erik Peters is currently playing right mid, and he's currently classed as a defender.
Is he playing on the right, not the left?
Let me double check. Let me get that right. He is playing on the left. You are correct.
I was going to say, he's normally a left back.
So he's playing left mid, and he got a clean sheet and two bonus points against the Sheffield United game, which I thought was pretty interesting. He's only going to be there till McNeil comes back, but he is incredibly, incredibly cheap.
Although with Charlie Taylor out, he might switch over to left back.
Potentially, very potentially. But they seem to have brought that Benson in, who, you know, if you don't remember Benson, the one that brought down, was it Silver for the goal?
Oh, yeah, clean sheet. Yeah,
no, absolutely. Ruined the clean sheet and bonuses. And yeah, what a dick. But no, I think Matt Lowton's a good replacement if you do want that Burnley defender still. They are keeping a lot of clean sheets. They haven't got the easiest fixtures coming up. They've got Fulham coming up this week, which you guarantee is a 0-0 written all over it. And then they've got West Ham, Liverpool, Villa, Chelsea, Man City. There's a lot of hard teams in there, but I think for a quick replacement and someone you want just to get in and give you that sort of good rotation, I think Matt Lowton's a good shout.
Yeah, I mean, Sean Dyche, whether he wants to or not, is very much like Bielsa in terms of you can very much rely on his team selection each week. He doesn't rotate too much. As I said, I think he would like to because he's always asking for more transfer funds. But yeah, Loughton's kind of guaranteed to start and play. And I think kind of at that price, he's very much just a good rotation option if you don't have too many... if you've got, I don't know, a Fulham defender coming up against Man City and you want to swap them out because you think they're going to take a tanking, then, yeah, you can swap Loughton in for the 1 or 2 points that week and it'll just kind of keep you ticking along, which is kind of what all Burnley defenders are there for, really, as well as, well, not Charlie Taylor because he's just the GOAT.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you can't have him because he's pulled his hammy in the 8th minute and Burnley then go on to keep a clean sheet but you don't see any of that joy, then... yeah, Matt Loughton's a good alternative. I mean, I'm very salty about that because the two players that I had in my defence who were on for clean sheets didn't play. So Charlie Taylor played 8 minutes and missed out on an inevitable clean sheet.
Koufal
playing for West Ham against Southampton. The one time he decides to rest him, they keep a clean sheet. I brought him in last week and they conceded 3 and he got 1 point. And now this week he actually plays. They keep a clean sheet against Southampton. You know, I would have said would have definitely scored. So I missed out on 11 points because of that, which, I'm not at all salty about. But
Me too. I also had that. Yeah, I think I said at the start that this week I had, even with everything happening, I had 10 players playing. 9 players playing, but actually I had also Charlie Taylor, who came off after 8 minutes, who got me 1 point. So not quite as good as, I think there's only 8 players playing in the end. Lovely. Beautiful.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm going to... take the lead on this avoid because I think we'll leave yours till last, save the best till last and the most shocking till last, but I'm gonna, and you know, because Josh isn't here, I think it would be fair only to keep the bandwagon rolling, and this week I'm gonna join him in telling you to avoid Heung-min Son. I still currently have him in my team, and as hypocritical as this sounds, I'm actually considering captaining him on the weekend against Leeds. As I just finished lambasting them, saying they don't give anything going forwards, but Leeds, as I said earlier, are just so open that Spurs could well catch them on the counter and get a goal, 2 or 3, and Son could well be a part of that. So I'm keeping him for this final week, and then after that I think I will be getting rid of him after having him from the beginning, apart from that 1 week when I dropped him because of his hamstring against Man United. But yeah, I think it's time to say goodbye. Spurs, as I already mentioned, just don't excite me going forwards. And I think there are better options at a cheaper price for the same sort of return. So that just gives me funds elsewhere. So I think, I'm very sad to say, but I think Son will be moving on sooner rather than later for me. And I would advise you all do the same.
It's a sad day, really. He's a gorgeous man. But big news, though, that is... you know, the first player that we've had that we've all said we've got to avoid him at 1 week or another on the podcast. So congratulations to Heung-min Son. You are our first full avoid.
It's not necessarily a record that you want to have, but you've got it, whether you like it or not.
But, I think, I'm not sure whether that sums up our podcast, that our first ever full avoid is someone who's currently ranked like 3rd on the points list.
Oh yeah. He's one of the top, but he's had 3 blanks. Well, no, he had got an assist against Palace, but he's not scored in three of the last four games, which for someone at 9.7, you would be hoping their returns to be slightly better, particularly against people like Leicester and Wolves. You know, they're not easy opposition, but Spurs, I would say, are better than them and so should be scoring against them. But he has not, which is why he'll be moving on. But definitely, as I said, I've built up the hype for this.
Yeah,
I'm quite shocked.
I'm also sitting on the fact that Josh isn't here this week, so he can't defend my avoid for this week, because
can't
I feel like
argue to the hilt with you.
Oh, he would be like, we you know, if you have been listening to the podcast, Josh Silver is a fan of, you know, good flowing football. He's a Leeds fan, so he likes good flowing football.
He also loves his stats.
But he slurps up more bathwater than I've ever heard of a man against Mr. Kevin De Bruyne. And this week, I'm telling you that I'm sick and tired of Kevin De Bruyne and my team. Now, I need to clarify this. Kevin De Bruyne is a fantastic footballer, don't get me wrong. It's just he's surrounded by the biggest bunch of incompetent bastards I've ever seen play football in my entire life. He will create chances. There will be potential for him to get points. Unfortunately, when you have Ferran Torres sat on the other side of that taking the shots, or Mahrez the other day, I think, had two clear... He came off the bench, had two clear-cut chances to score. Completely missed them. KDB usually will score from outside. He just... KDB last year was just scoring sort of... He would just get that one or two shots and he'd take usually a few of them throughout the year. He was scoring quite a lot from open play. This year, I don't think he has scored from open play, if I'm correct. I think he's had a couple of penalties. No, I'm pretty sure. He might have had one. But he scored two goals this season, which is just ridiculous.
I think those are two penalties, actually.
The two goals that he scored are both penalties. He's missed... I've watched quite a lot of the games because obviously currently I have Kevin De Bruyne in my team. And when I've watched the games with him in it, it's not like he's been bad. It's just the fact that everyone else around him just seems to be so off the boil at the moment. It's so... Man City look fantastic defensively and they're winning games like 1 or 2-0, but they're not battering teams like they were a few years ago. And it just seems to be Kevin De Bruyne is either... at the moment, he just seems to be the player that's either being the pass to the assist or being just not involved at all, which is pretty sad because he's a fantastic footballer. But there's just players around him who just aren't playing the same level that they were playing a couple of years ago. There's just, you know, Bernardo Silva's not really playing. He's not playing very well. Mahrez, who was in my team a few weeks ago, apart from the hat-trick this year, has done absolutely nothing. Aguero, I think they're missing massively. I think when he comes back into the team, which could be soon, there could be a change in fortune, but Gabriel Jesus, it just looks... Christ, the amount of money that... I don't know why ever money they spent on him. That was a waste of money, wasn't it?
You just said Gabriel Jesus. Christ.
no pun intended, I promise. No pun intended. Raheem Sterling looks like their sort of only glimmer of hope, but even he's not playing particularly well compared to some of the previous seasons. We know when he's getting 20, 25 goals. Mm. Man, never that. But, oh, sorry, 25 goals, sort of Champions League included, all leagues, cups included. Ferran Torres doesn't look like a player that really is up to Premier League standard. There's just so many players that play. The only thing that you can sort of rely on with Man City at the moment, I think, is their defence. And so, to quote who got the assist a few weeks ago, I think it's going to be KD bye-bye. So he will be leaving my team quite soon, I think, which is quite sad. But on a positive note there, he's going to free up £11.7 million worth of funds for me. So... they do have a great run of fixtures coming up, so I am still a little, to give you all the full picture, I am still undecided whether I do just keep the wheel rolling and try and stick with him until he starts producing something. But I think the more I do that, the more depressed I'm going to get. So it's I think it's time for him to go and get someone in that's actually going to produce me some results.
Yeah, it's really difficult with Man City because, you know, their team hasn't changed too much. You know, they got rid of Leroy Sané and brought in Torres, but that's about it. I mean, obviously David Silva left as well, but yeah, when I look, they're just not scoring, and I really can't put my finger on why. They're just not anywhere near as clinical as usual. And I mean, Sterling missed a couple of gilt-edged chances that KDB put on a plate for him. Was it against Newcastle that they won that game, but Kevin De Bruyne in the final 5-10 minutes of the game was basically playing centre back, put some crosses in from basically the halfway line onto one of them was Raheem Sterling's head, and then the other, I can't remember who had it, but they were two nailed on goals basically, and they managed to put it straight at the keeper. And so that was two assists that De Bruyne was due that they missed. But yeah, I really can't say why they're not scoring goals. Obviously, Aguero's not been fit, but even normally in his absence, Jesus steps up and he just hasn't. No. Tom and I were talking a bit before this, so I'm not too surprised by his KDB pick because he had told me, but and I kind of am inclined to agree with him. But City's kind of regular assets that you can say are going to start week in, week out, which more often than not is De Bruyne and Sterling and Aguero, aren't returning, and their goals are coming from really obscure places like Ilkay Gundogan, Ferran Torres, I mean Mahrez not very recently, but the sort of players that you wouldn't put in your team because you can't guarantee them a start. But I feel really nervous about not having a City asset, so I do want to get rid of De Bruyne, but I don't know who to cover off with on Man City because they're going to score goals, but it's who is going to score those goals. So yeah, I'm really not sure what to do there. I did switch. I think Sterling probably is the best, but it's really difficult to switch from premium assets because you always end up shooting yourself in the foot. So it's like, I do want to get rid of De Bruyne, but I don't want to switch because that's when it'll hurt me and I can't get any of their kind of more cheaper assets like a Phil Foden or whatever in because he just doesn't seem to be able to play a Premier League game. Like, he's playing in the Champions League and the FA Cup games and stuff, but he doesn't feature in the league. So yeah, I do kind of agree with you, but it's just really difficult to know who to pick instead of him. And it's just that ends up, you leave him in your team.
For me, my issue with them is it's just the way they're playing as well. So like, and I know I banged on about it last week, so apologies, but obviously Man City played Newcastle last week. And this is the Newcastle team that just got beat by Brentford in the quarterfinals of the FL, of the Cup. Like, it wasn't like they were playing a good team. And he played Rodri and Fernandinho, two centre defensive midfielders, yeah, against a Newcastle team who in this game only had 24% of possession. It's like, why are you playing two centre defensive midfielders against a team who is leaking so many goals and literally can't defend for anything at the moment?
Well, from memory, they only had two chances and they were really speculative from Murphy. So it's like,
yeah,
I can understand you playing Rodri or Fernandinho, but yeah, definitely have more going forward because Newcastle, I mean, they bucked that yesterday by... They actually played really well against Liverpool yesterday.
They did.
But against City, they just sat in. And that's what I would have predicted them to do. So I'm sure Pep would have been the same. So you could have very easily played just Fernandinho or exactly. Rodri.
100%. But I don't know if you know... Phil Foden on.
Yeah, I mean, he could have been trying to get minutes in both their legs. Because did Fernandinho have an injury recently? I think he might have done. And so, you know, trying to get them both playing time. But yeah, they definitely, something isn't right with City this year. They're not scoring anywhere near in the same quantity that they used to. Looking at kind of the top scorers, none of their players feature in the top 10, which is really surprising for Man City. You know, Wilfred Zaha's got more goals than any of their assets combined. I mean, Riyad Mahrez is the first City player with 4 goals and he's 27th in the top scorers. You know, Raul Jimenez hasn't played for 3 or 4 weeks and is still above most of City's assets. They're just not scoring this year for some reason. Sterling's managed to get 4 this year, but yeah, they're just not at their free-flowing best. They've got a nice fixture run coming up, so hopefully, you know, they get back to that purely in fantasy terms. I don't want them doing well in the league generally, but
don't get me wrong. Man City are the epitome of everything that's wrong with the Premier League, but in an FPL sort of view, we want them to do well. So
yeah, we want our boy Kevin, because that's the thing. That's what I think is frustrating as well, is that De Bruyne still is playing like the best player in the world, but yeah, he's just not getting the fantasy rewards flowing at the same rate.
He's playing, that the Premier League have ranked him currently as the 5th best player in the fantasy Premier League, like in Premier League,
yeah,
in terms of a threat. He's the 5th highest ranked player, which is mad, but it's just everyone else around him. I think that's my issue. So my void this week is Kevin De Bruyne, but it's more avoiding Man City.
Yeah.
It's more avoiding Kevin De Bruyne because Kevin De Bruyne is not just being able to get anything because the rest of his team is playing like shit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fair. I think I can't disagree with any of that. Should we move on to our second game of the show?
Yeah, so this week is Would You Rather. Usually every week I pose, one of the three of us poses a Would You Rather suggestion. For example, I would pose it to Cam and Josh, and they would then argue who's the better choice between the two people I pick. Unfortunately, with no Josh this week, what I've decided to do instead is use it very selfishly to pick my team for the double game week, because I've at the moment got no idea what to do. I know I'm be taking some hits, and I'm just deciding on who to take hits for. So I'm leaving it up to Cam to basically decide my team for the double game week. So no pressure, Cam. If they don't perform, I'm coming for you. I know where you live.
I'm going to get my big brain out for you and help you.
Once we're released from Tier 4, I know where you live. So
obviously, right, got to comply with the COVID safety
COVID regulations. Yeah, so yeah. I'll pull out like my, I don't know, I'll find some sort of, I don't know, air rifle sniper. Is that even a thing? No, probably not. So I'll just have to wait till the tiers drop down and we're allowed to be within a 2 meter distance. Anyway, so basically, I've gone with three different picks, and so I want to know which one would you rather have. But they're all aiming for the double game week, and they've all got double fixture in the double game week. So the first one, and two fantastic goalkeepers in Areola or Sam Johnston.
Sorry, this is supposed to be quick fire. I probably would say Areola, but I would need to know what their fixtures are.
Okay, so to give you their fixtures, basically, Areola has Burnley, then he has obviously a blank, and then Chelsea and United, and Sam Johnston has Arsenal, and then Wolves and West Ham.
Okay, can I change?
do you want to say neither, or?
Well, I think on the basis of fixtures, I would say Wolves. I would prefer to have Sam Johnston playing Wolves and West Ham. Wolves aren't particularly potent going forward, but West Ham, I mean, they did just blank, but they have a decent threat, but I wouldn't want to be Fulham or have a Fulham defender playing against Chelsea and Man United. Having said that, before Big Sam came in, and even since he's come in, Fulham have been playing the better football than West Brom, and kind of have been staving off defensive breaches by being the aggressor and attacking and playing good football. So, you know, that could well help them against the likes of Chelsea and Man United, but just on paper, I would back both Chelsea and Man United to score more goals in those two games than Wolves or West Ham would. So I'm going to have to change my answer, but go with Sam Johnston.
No, to be honest, it's one of those weird ones. So before everyone thinks I'm an absolute nutter, so even considering getting one of them in, the reason is it's for the double game week. They're both incredibly cheap at 4.5 mil. And the nice thing about them both is they're both getting a lot of save points because they get so many shots on target. That's the reason I'm deciding between the two of them this week.
I think, well, you're also planning to bench boost, aren't you? So you're going to have a better keeper starting, and then you're going to have one of those on the bench. And even if they
they
concede three, but they make six saves, you'll get 3 points from them off the bench. And if they do that twice, then that's six over the game week. So
definitely, that's the point there. And to be honest, the problem is they're both great keepers playing an absolutely dog shit team. So do feel sorry for them because they do both look fantastic when they're when push comes to shove and they have to make the save. Well, they do look better than David De Gea.
Johnston made that ridiculous save against Firmino in the final minute against Liverpool the other week. Oh, I literally thought that was in. And I thought Firmino just headed wide, and then I saw the reverse angle, and he flicks it around the post. It's ridiculous.
They're both very good keepers. Yeah, they're both very good keepers. And so moving on, this one's slightly different because I've already got one of them, but would you rather have Kufau or Dallas?
Dallas. Yeah, I've already eulogised enough about Dallas. I think I've got both in my team. I think Kufau's a really good asset. But I think Dallas, Leeds just excite me more than West Ham. I'm not sure about their fixtures. I think Leeds have decent fixtures coming up. West Ham have also pretty good. You know, they've got out their next four. They've got two ranking two on the fixture difficulty ranking. And Leeds have only the one against Brighton at home. But, you know, I'd back them to give Spurs, Brighton, Southampton and Newcastle all a good game and could very well keep a clean sheet in any of those. So, as I've already said, with Dallas playing out of position, he's also got attacking returns because that's all Leeds know how to do, really, is attack. I'd go for Dallas.
Great. And, I agree. I'm more than likely going to have both of them in my team at some point for the double game week. So it was more of a... just interesting. And then final one, and I think I know the answer for you already, but would you rather have Rodrigo or Antonio?
Antonio. Having said that, I really like Leeds' attacking assets. I think, we've spoken about when he was fit a good couple months ago, but Antonio seems to be quite fixture proof. No matter who West Ham play against, he seems to have a goal or two in him. And I'm looking at bringing him in on my free hit for the double game week, because they have, yeah, as I said, some quite nice fixtures. They've got Burnley and West Brom at home, which I think if he's fit and he plays, Antonio could bully those defences and get himself at least two goals. So Rodrigo has looked good and obviously scored in the last game, and he scored against Newcastle. But he's kind of playing more as a link-up man for Leeds. So I've noticed he's playing a lot more in the hole, and Bamford is leading the line. And then Rodrigo, Rafinha and Harrison are getting down the outside and putting crosses in. So I just think, you know, Antonio's got a higher ceiling than him, basically. But I would back Rodrigo to score as well in their upcoming games. So that is my tuppence worth.
No, definitely, I think. Again, yeah, they're both good options, really, for the double game week. Both got great fixtures. Hopefully, Antonio does not score against Sam Johnson against West Brom. But, you know, we can hope. We can have fingers crossed.
Well, as I said, even if he does score, Sam Johnson will make at least six saves in that game. So you'll get 2 points off that.
That's true. And there we go. That was a very quick fire. Would you rather? Nice and simple.
Thank you very much, Thomas, for putting that together.
There was no argumenting. Good word there. That's a very
great English.
Shit, I was going to take the piss out of Josh and now I can't do it.
Well, I hope my advice goes some way to helping you have a very bad double game week.
Perfect, thank you. I've dropped the bottom of our little group chat, our little podcast league, which hasn't made me very happy this week. So,
well, yeah, I mean, you're no doing bad if Josh has gone above you in the league.
I saw it happen and I was just like... He got 62 points this week. I think we should have a little shout out for Josh. That is a very good game week.
That is very good return. I mean, I am salty because I could have well been up there had I had Charlie Taylor and Kufau return. But he had those in his team, didn't he?
He did have Charlie Taylor and Kufau, so yes. It's just he had Stuart Dallas, Rafinha and Bamford. Just putting out there, he was the one that told me not to get Dallas in this week.
He likes his Leeds players. Understandably so. He is a Leeds fan. But
true. Should we go on to captain's choices?
Yeah. So
obviously this week didn't go very well.
No. Once more, Mo let us down.
Did. And he had some good chances as well.
There was that ridiculous save again. What is it with keepers pulling up worldies against Liverpool recently?
I don't know.
Johnston pulls out a ridiculous save in the final minute, and Darlow with that fingertip sent Salah's round the post. But I mean, that notwithstanding, Salah had a good few chances to put away in that game. It was really frustrating. He had that one where he cut inside, and every other week you would bet your house on him putting that in the bottom left corner. And he, as you said, stuck it a yard wide. So he got the big billing. Everyone on fantasy, I think he was the most captain this week, and he returned a measly 3 points. I mean, as we've already shown in the Kings of the Game Week, there weren't too many big returns, and definitely not from the big boys that everyone would have captained, so you can't be too salty about it. The only other person in my team I would have captained was Fernandes. I had him vice, and that would have only given me 12. But it would have gained me ground in the Salah captain race. So I think, did we all go for Salah this week?
We did, so, and then last week Josh went Kevin De Bruyne, and we absolutely ridiculed him. Sorry, so this part we compare ourselves to if we captain Salah all year. I've decided to captain Salah for the last two game weeks because I can't fall any further behind at the moment. I just need him to do stuff, and he's done nothing. I think we ridiculed Josh last week because he put Kevin De Bruyne and we went Salah, and Kevin De Bruyne actually ended up outscoring Salah because he got 3 points and Salah got two.
So annoying. That was the thing that it actually vindicated Josh, because even though De Bruyne didn't return, he got his clean sheet bonus, whereas Salah conceded it in the 80th minute or whatever it was from a ridiculous corner. Did you see how he conceded that corner as well?
I didn't see that. Was it?
It was just like, I think it was a mix up between Curtis Jones or whatever and Robbo, and he just booted it out for a corner, and then they played a short corner, swung it in, and Ajayi headers it in off the post, and I was just like, so avoidable, and that would have left us level with De Bruyne. But yeah, we are still, Tom is 94 points behind Salah had he captained him all season. Josh is 56, and I'm streaking ahead in front, only 50 points behind Salah with 196. So,
and you wonder why I'm trying to get Kevin De Bruyne out of my team, and that's just so I have to captain Salah every year, every week. So,
well, you don't want to break the magical century. You want to stay. Maintain.
I'm glad I didn't do it this week because it gives me another excuse. We'll have to crack open like a bottle of wine or champagne or something when I break the century, because that'll be impressive.
We'll get our chief and expert editor to crack in some fanfare music when you break the magical century of points behind Salah. Had you captained him all year?
Let's hope it doesn't happen again. So, on that, who are you captaining this week then?
I'm really torn. I think I will ultimately go for Salah away against Southampton. He's coming off the back of two blanks, and we know that he doesn't blank too regularly in a row. So based only on that logic, because Southampton are a very good outfit at the minute and I don't see them conceding too many goals, but just on the logic that Salah's got to return sooner or later, I think I will captain him. But that's mainly just because there isn't an outstanding option in my team at the minute. I mean, maybe it's stupid, but I do have Fernandes, who I can see United scoring against Villa on the weekend. But because of my Salah bias, I'm playing Martinez in goal, so I don't want him conceding too many. Although, you know, if Fernandes scores two and I captain him, then it vastly outweighs keeping a clean sheet. So maybe I will change last minute. But as I said earlier, Son's got Leeds at home, which is a tempting fixture, but I think I will stick with Salah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be doing the same, to be honest. I am very tempted to go incredibly rogue this week. Unfortunately, with James Maddison being injured at the moment and being on a yellow, James Maddison was actually going to be a potential captain this week against Newcastle, because I still don't think Newcastle are very good, even though they played quite well against Liverpool yesterday. I don't think they've got it in them, really. They just don't look good. And I think Leicester's a team that could break them down quite nicely. I think it's actually a team that Steve Bruce will look at and go, oh, I reckon we could beat them, and set up a different team and just get absolutely smashed. So,
well, I think it's more just, you know, teams can only put in those sorts of efforts for a certain period of time, and they put in a massive effort against us yesterday, and it wouldn't surprise me if they were flagging by the time they play Leicester. So for no other reason, they may just not be able to keep it up, which is a shame as a Liverpool fan, because it seems that everyone's putting in this monstrous effort when they play us. But Leicester could very well... Is it a home or away fixture for Leicester this week?
It's away, but...
I don't know. They beat them 3-0 last year there. Maddison scored a rocket, so, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it will be Salah, because Madison's obviously currently showing as a knock, so more than likely he'll be on the bench, won't he? Knowing my luck at the moment. So, I think it's going to be a Salah captain, but I think this week's a tough one for a lot of people. I think, to honest, the standout captains, weirdly enough, are probably Spurs players quite an open Leeds. Not that, you know, Spurs are going to dominate that game, but the potential that it's just a really high-scoring game.
Yeah, no, it's as I said, there's not any really standout captain picks. You know, there's not a Salah at home to a Watford or something, so it's not a nailed-on. So I think any sort of pick that you go for would be reasonably valid. But I think we will leave it there for this week. We've managed to somehow ramble on for nearly as long, just one person down. So we've managed to fill Josh's void reasonably well. I hope you guys have enjoyed listening. And we want to thank you all for your support over this past couple months of 2020, when we've started up the FPL by Dummies podcast. You know, we hope that everyone has a much happier, both FPL-wise and general life, in 2021. You can find us on all our usual platforms of Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and the big one was iHeartRadio.
Big shout out.
I know a big portion of you guys are listening from there, so shout out to you. Be sure to go and follow us and hear our further ramblings on Twitter. So I'm FPL Dummy Cameron, FPL Dummy Tom, and an honourable mention to our fallen comrade FPL Dummy Josh. And of course the main podcast account, FPL by Dummies. You can see us ramble and be salty and all the rest of it over on Twitter.
It's very salty.
The FPL happenings. All the salt. Confirm.
It's a lot of salt. It's a lot of salt.
We've taken over the title of Salt Bay. But as I said, we hope you all have a happy new year in 2021, and we'll see you on the flip side.